This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Now, I would like to allow us to express our greetings and our gratitude to each of you, and to remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication, that opportunity for you to alter your consciousness and enter into a meditative thought state that allows you the opportunity to have a telepathic interaction with other entities that would be with us on this afternoon, or indeed, once again, that portion that you refer to as your higher self. But as always, that choice is yours absolutely. Now, we spoke about creating your reality, and how this reality that you experience is without exception a reflection of the belief systems and beliefs that you hold. Without exception. And the various methods that you can employ to set out, to map out, if you wish, what it is that you wish to experience in your awakened consciousness state. And we've been through this many, many times. And yet many individuals never begin the journey. We've used the analogy many times of the boats lined up along the shore, and you go down upon the shore and run up and down searching each vessel to see which one has the capacity to accomplish the voyage that you desire to make. And one becomes so caught up in the exploration of the vessels that one never really truly begins the journey. And so it is that one listens to what we suggest, but very seldom applies, very seldom sits down and does the steps that are outlined that can assist in accomplishing and altering the reality. And we're not judging, we're not suggesting that it's right or wrong. That's your choice. Do whatever it is you desire. We'll support you. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference to us whether you believe or don't believe. That's your choice. It's your reality. Have what it is that you desire. Not only have what it is that you desire, but you do have what it is that you desire. If you wish to change it, then that's as well. Something that you must desire, not something that we can tell you you should or shouldn't do. We really don't care. We care that you are enjoying this reality. We care that you experience love. But we really don't care what direction you go to achieve that. That's your choice. It's your reality. It's your free will. You can do whatever it is that you desire. Not only can, but do. You see, we're like that spark of consciousness that creates the reality. We rejoice in whatever it is that you experience. We're not suggesting for an instant that one way is the right way and another way is the wrong way. Right or wrong is simply a wake human consciousness concept. It does not exist at other levels of your consciousness, particularly at the level of consciousness from which you create this reality. And therein lies the irony. What you perceive to be right or wrong in your awakened consciousness state has absolutely no effect on whether or not that spark of consciousness that you are will create the reality that validates your belief system. You do that. You do that automatically. You create your reality. It's a validation of your belief systems. What we experience in our interactions is that many individuals would like to have the ability to consciously influence that reality. Not necessarily make it a better one. We're not suggesting that if you go in a different direction that it has to be immensely better than the reality that you experience, but rather have the capacity to understand that consciously you are able to influence and to alter your reality. Take it in a different direction. It's like being on a journey. Doesn't necessarily mean that because you change direction that the journey is going to be greatly enhanced, but simply allow you a different perspective. And so we're not suggesting that by choosing, and it is a choice, by choosing to consciously influence your reality that you're making a better choice or going in a better direction on your journey. Absolutely not. That's your choice. What do you believe? However, many of you desire to have that capacity, to have that experience, to consciously understand that you're influencing and creating your reality. So from that perspective, then we outline various methods that you can employ that will assist you in achieving that conscious experience. But you have to apply them, rather than once again being the individual running up and down the shore checking off the vessels. Many individuals don't take the time to write down or to make some type of a determined effort to outline specifically what it is they desire. Many times it's quite broad in the sense of explaining what it is that one desires. Well, I wish to be employed in a certain field, or I wish to have some type of a relationship, or I wish to have abundance. Be specific. Detail what it is that you desire. Be very, very specific. For in that ability to be specific, you can enhance the imagination. And it's through the imagination that you can experience the emotions and feelings that are connected with the reality that you desire. And as you experience those emotions and feelings, or even though they're imaginary, you trigger a response in that spark of consciousness that you are. It's like, ha-ha, that's what you desire to experience. Well, that's easy. It's not different than any other experience. Let's let you have that experience consciously. And so you create it. And so it's important, if you wish to consciously influence this reality, that you begin to do the steps and not just listen to them. That you don't just once again run up and down the shore. We suggested that meditation can be a method or technique that's accepted within your society as having a powerful influence upon your capacity to create your reality and then to influence it consciously. And we've even done recordings where we have assisted in taking one on a meditative journey, simply to give you an idea of what it's like to have that experience. It's a beginning, it's a step, it's what would allow you to go even deeper. But many individuals get hung up at that particular junction and wish to have other entities doing their meditation for them. That's okay, there's nothing wrong with that, that's what you desire. But if you wish to go within thought, and as we've suggested many times, the answers that you desire are within thought. Yes, you have but to go within thought, and it's all there. It's all there for you to experience. But you, as entities, in your consciousness state, again, put in place that electromagnetic type of veil that makes it very difficult for you to go within sight. You make it difficult. It's not difficult other than you desire it to be difficult when you entered into this vibrational level, but it's not something that you can't get past either. It takes an effort, and once again, you believe in a passage of time and space. You believe that you have to grow and you have to learn. And so, it becomes more valid if you go through the steps. It's more acceptable to you in your awakened consciousness state if there's been this progression. Ah, yeah, now this is real. Now I'm getting good at this. I've had some practice, you see, and so it makes it more real. But many individuals get hung up, if you wish, on that meditative state where you go so far and you begin to put up the roadblocks. You begin to put up the images. It can be very entertaining. You put up these very inviting and desirable places for you to visit. And you can feel at peace there. And it's like, oh, if I could just stay here forever, it would be great. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that's as valid as the illusion that you're experiencing in your awakened consciousness state. But it's an illusion that you've put in place that limits you from going deeper to get past that. When you're meditating, you will have a thought coming into your conscious state, into your mind, about something that's occurring in your current awake conscious life that you're experiencing. And you look at that thought and you try to put it aside because you don't want that. You don't want that thought that's happening in your so-called awakened consciousness state to interfere in this meditative state. So you put it aside. Whatever method or technique you utilize doesn't matter. You come up with some method to get rid of it, to put it aside, so that you can go deeper, and so that you can get into that altered state of consciousness. And then you get into that altered state of consciousness, and you go into these very, very nice places. And it's another thought that's interfering with your going deeper. But this is a thought that's in your so-called subconsciousness. It's not one that you're experiencing in your everyday conscious awake state. And so you desire to stay there. And yet it's a limitation. It keeps you from going inside. It keeps you from going deeper to the answer that you truly wish to experience. And while these illusions, once again, can be very attractive, they are nonetheless distractions. Distractions that are as much a distraction as the thought that you had from your so-called awakened conscious mind. And when you learn to put the distractions aside, when you learn to go deeper, when you learn to treat them as a thought that's interfering with what it is that you truly desire to experience, then you can put them aside, and you can put them aside. And for many, it's a progression. It takes time. It takes time simply because if it takes time, it becomes more real to you, because once again, it validates your concept of time and space. And so, for many, it's a learning process to put that aside. And many never get there. Many get to that level of meditation, where they're using their imagination to experience these wonderful places. And that's as far as they get, and that's as far as they desire to go. And when they come back, they always feel like there's something missing. It's like, that was okay, but there's got to be more. There's got to be more, and there is more. Now, there's nothing wrong with going into a meditative state and you have in your mind certain things that you'd like to achieve. For example, we've done meditations where individuals are experiencing certain types of illnesses, and you can utilize your consciousness to concentrate on healing those particular illnesses, and you can be quite successful at that type of meditation. But that's a meditation with specific intent. You need to do this. I want to put this in place. Or you might have a meditation where you desire to experience some occurrence in your reality, one that you've had as a desire, that you've utilized your imagination as to what it would be like. And so now you're in your meditative state, and once again, utilizing your imagination as to what it would be like to experience the emotions and the feelings, utilizing your senses as to what it would be like to experience that reality. That's a meditation with a specific intent. You know what you desire. You're not just having this illusion drop in there from somewhere in your subconsciousness of this very peaceful, nice place that you'd like to be. Not at all. That's a meditation where you have been very specific about what it is that you wish to experience. And that can enhance your imagination, that can enhance bringing it into your reality, because once again, as your emotions are triggered, as your senses and feelings are all stimulated than the spark of consciousness that you are says, ha ha, that's what they desire to experience. That's the creation. They believe that they can have that, and so they can react that. You create that. You validate the belief system. That's a meditation with an intent, with a purpose. We're talking about a meditation to go within thought, to touch the spark of consciousness that you are, to get an understanding of the absolute and unconditional love that exists within each of you, so you can bring it into your conscious state. For that type of meditation, you continuously put aside all of the distractions, no matter how desirable it may seem. Put it aside. Put it aside. Put it aside. And it can be very difficult, and many individuals have difficulty getting to, and we hesitate to utilize the word level, but to that level of consciousness. It's not really a level of consciousness. It's simply a consciousness that exists within each of you that you can access if you truly believe and if you desire. And so meditation can be a huge asset, one that most of the societies believe has the capacity to accomplish that which you desire. Because you believe the reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. If you believe, then you shall succeed. You have but to believe. And so many individuals don't utilize meditation to that extent, or get involved in meditation and stop at the nice places, stop at the illusions that are so desirable, are so tempting, and are so distracting from what it is that you're attempting to accomplish. And so meditation can be a huge tool to utilize. And many individuals don't take the time, don't set down the regimental time and habit that's needed to achieve what's possible for you to accomplish through meditation, should you believe. And then we've suggested many times, Israel, that one look at oneself and like what you see. Many individuals have never taken the time. Many individuals have never taken the time to make the list of principles and to apply them. And to not only apply them, but to keep track of the times that you're successful, and to rejoice, and to make a point of rejoicing, to make a point of liking who you are, to make a point within yourself. Is not something that you have to suggest to someone else. This is not something that you share with the individuals around you. You don't have to share it. When you begin to like yourself, they will understand and recognize that you like who you are, and miraculously they begin to like you as well. You don't have to tell anyone what you're doing, but you should do it. You see, and as we've made that suggestion once again, many individuals have not bothered to make the list and to apply and to keep track and to rejoice. Many individuals have not taken the steps necessary to love yourself consciously. To love yourself consciously. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. And you do things that allow yourself to experience certain emotions and feelings of joy, emotions of liking who you are, emotions of trusting who you are, emotions of feeling secure in who you are, emotions of knowing that you are never alone because you like who you are and you love yourself consciously. It takes a conscious effort to do so. You give to yourself unconditionally so that you can experience those emotions and feelings that you desire to experience. You don't have to make a big issue of it, but you will know. And as you begin to love yourself consciously, then you begin to have the expectation for the desires that you've been experiencing in desiring and imagining in your meditations to become expectations. You have to do it. You have to choose. It's a choice. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. What do you desire? You have to make a choice. You see, to not make a choice is to still choose. If you choose to not become involved, then you've made a choice. It's not a right or wrong choice. It's important as well to understand that no one is going to judge you and say, well, you should have went this way or you should have went that way. The only one that will make that judgment is yourself in your awakened consciousness state. Even the spark of consciousness that you are will not make that judgment. You will not be judged. You are not here because you must learn certain things or that you will be judged as doing right or wrong or good or bad other than what you believe in your awakened consciousness that. The spark of consciousness and all of the other sparks of consciousness that exist at that level of creation will not judge the reality that you're creating and experiencing, but will rejoice in validating your belief system. The choice is yours. Absolutely. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
When we attempt to create a reality and we do things in our conscious understanding that should get the results, and yet it still doesn't come into fruition, are we looking at a cross purpose within our intent there somewhere that we desire certain things and yet we sabotage those things?
We continuously suggest that the reality is a reflection of belief systems. It is a combination of beliefs that create the reality, not just one simple belief. We've used the analogy before that it's like a multitude of atoms that form molecules that are combined to make objects in your reality. It's not just one atom or one molecule, and so it's not just one belief, but rather a combination of beliefs that form a belief system. And so it becomes very difficult many times to understand what the belief is that's limiting one in creating the reality that you desire. One of the most difficult concepts of this reality creation process, once again, is getting a grasp or an understanding of what the belief is that's not necessarily limiting belief, but rather the belief that's responsible for the reality you're experiencing as opposed to the belief that you wish to experience. You see, it's important to understand that that spark of consciousness that creates your reality has no concept of limiting belief systems or limiting beliefs. It gives to you that which you desire without any type of judgment in saying, well, that's a good belief and that's a bad belief or that's a limiting belief. It doesn't look upon it that way. It gives it to you without judgment. And so it can be very difficult many times to create the reality because somewhere in there is a belief that you're not aware of, that you're not consciously aware is influencing the reality that you're experiencing. We've suggested many times that one pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes that one experiences when one is involved in a creation process, involved in what we refer to as a day-to-day activity. Pay attention to the spontaneous attitude, for it can be an indication of a belief that you hold that you're not consciously aware of. And it's like a light bulb comes on. Well, I didn't. I would have never believed that. I would have never thought that I held that belief. Many individuals try to put aside attitudes that they believe might be negative attitudes. Oh, I shouldn't think that way. Or I shouldn't have that feeling. I shouldn't have that attitude. And so the instant it rears itself into that reality, they put it aside. It's like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to accept. That's not me. And yet it is. Recognize it. The only emotional feeling that's a bad emotional feeling is one that you don't recognize and deal with. And if you continuously put it aside, then it can continue to influence your reality because it's a belief that you hold, but you're not consciously aware of it. And once again, your subconsciousness could care less what your consciousness is aware of. Your subconsciousness validates your reality based upon your belief systems and the beliefs that comprise those belief systems. And if you wish to change it, then you change your subconscious belief systems. Your consciousness is simply focusing on your interactions and your day-to-day activities in a very limited fashion. While your subconsciousness is responsible for creating this entire reality. Your subconsciousness, the spark of consciousness that you are, is so much more than you can comprehend. And what you experience in your awakened consciousness state is but a very, very, very minute portion of what your subconsciousness is capable of. And so in your conscious state, you have a tendency to dwell on these one or two little problems, and these seemingly one or two little beliefs that you hold that are influencing your reality. But your subconsciousness is handling all of the belief systems. They're handling the human consciousness belief system and the societal belief system and your individual belief systems, and it's mixing them together and it's creating this entire reality. Not just your physical being, not just what you're experiencing in your day-to-day activities, but everything that you perceive in your universe. You are a part of that entire human consciousness that is creating that reality. And so you have these, once again, belief systems that are comprised of a multitude of beliefs, and it can be very difficult to determine which belief it is that's responsible for the so-called sabotaging of a reality that you're desiring to experience. Many times, it comes back down to that simple technique of liking who you are, paying attention to the spontaneous attitudes that are a direct reflection of your beliefs, acknowledging them, and then making an effort through whatever technique you desire, be it a meditative state or whether you want to write it down and throw it away, that alters the reality. It doesn't matter what the technique is. What matters is that you believe that the technique will change your belief and belief system. And many times, it comes back to the simple concept of self-love, of expectation. Expectation becomes greatly enhanced when an individual has the capacity to love themselves consciously, to love all of themselves consciously, even those portions that you look upon and wish that you weren't like that, or that you didn't have that in your existence. Like so-and-so is dealing with me, and I don't like the way they're dealing with me, but I'm supposed to be good to my neighbors, and so I can't express any negative feelings towards them because it'll all come back to me. If you want to have that, you can have it, but it's garbage. Unless you believe, you see. If you believe, then it can have an absolutely tremendous effect upon the reality that you experience. If you don't believe, then it can have no effect at all. That's the irony. And so many times, it's because one lacks in that conscious self-love. And we don't mean that to put individuals down. You see, you lack in that because you choose to. It's not a right or wrong. You lack in that because you've entered into a vibrational level where you put in place through choice, the limitations of being able to love yourself consciously. So this is not something that you should be looked down upon as being somehow less than, or that you feel like you're subjected to some type of lessons that you must learn in order to graduate or to become more enlightened. Absolutely not. It's there because you choose. You choose to be involved. You put in place. It's your choice. It's not any other individual doing this to you. It's your choice. And when you can grasp that concept, that it's your choice, then it becomes much more within your capacity to understand as well that it's your choice to change it. Like who you are. Love yourself consciously. And don't believe that because you don't love yourself consciously that somehow you're not doing things right, or that somehow you're less than, or that somehow you're not a good person. Absolutely not. You are all that is. The key is to bring that understanding into your conscious state. To love yourself consciously. The fact that you don't is because of choices that you made. And when you entered into this vibrational level, you made those choices to put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. But it's not impossible for you to love yourself consciously. And as you love yourself consciously, you begin to pay attention to those attitudes that are responsible and reflections of your belief systems. And you can change them. And you accept them for what they are and change them. You don't look upon it as being a bad situation. You don't look at it as being a very, very bad belief system. But rather one that at some point, within some level of your consciousness, you have chosen to put in place so you could have that experience. And now you just want to have a different experience. It's not right or wrong, other than what you believe in your awakened consciousness state. It's rather ironic. And it's important to grasp the irony of some of the realities that you're experiencing. But it's rather ironic that we see individuals who are perceiving other individuals who seem to have it all. They look upon that individual as having abundance. They look upon that individual as having all types of positive realities that they're experiencing. And here they sit, envious, looking upon that. And yet, as they sit in their envy, they are surrounded by love, by people in relationships that are very, very supportive. They're surrounded by the emotions and feelings that they would suggest are the most desirable that you could experience in the awakened consciousness state. And yet they look at the other individual who they envy because of all of the possessions and all of the seemingly abundance that they have. And oh, if I could just have that. And then they wake up one morning and find out that that individual who has all of that abundance that they have desired has OD'd. So which has the best lifestyle? Which is the most desirable? It's not that you can't have both, but it's important to understand that having abundance is not necessarily going to create a reality that you would find desirable. Being involved in a relationship is not necessarily going to be a reality that you desire. Be specific about what it is that you desire. Utilize your imagination. Have the expectation. Pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes that are reflected from your beliefs, in order to get a glimpse of the beliefs so that you can make the right choices and decisions that will influence the thoughts and the feelings that you have, that will have a direct effect upon your belief systems so that you can alter them. It all seems so very difficult, and yet it really isn't. You have but to believe. It seems like such a a simple statement, and it seems like such a cop-out to tell you, well, what do you believe? And yet it is the key. It is the absolute key. What do you believe? If you're not achieving that which you desire, then it's because somewhere you have a belief that's not necessarily wrong, but is responsible for the reality that you are experiencing. You don't look at it as being a negative belief, or one that you shouldn't have, or one that's a bad belief, or one that's somehow having a very, very bad effect on your reality. Because once again, the spark of consciousness that you are does not judge whether it's right or wrong. And if you hold and dwell upon the negative aspects in your reality, then the spark of consciousness that you are validates the negativity, and you can have it, and you perpetuate it, even though you desire some other type of reality. Your imagination is hung up on the negativity, and the spark of consciousness that you are grants it to you willingly and rejoicingly, without judgment. It's important to grasp that once again there is no distinction as to right or wrong or good or bad at that level from which you create your reality. It's as you wish to dwell upon the negativity, you know, oh, it would be so nice for me to have abundance, but it'll never happen. I know if I hold certain beliefs that I can have it, but really I don't think it'll happen. The negativity permeates the entire thought process, permeates the entire desire and imagination, and the spark of consciousness that you are gives it to you rejoicingly, without judging if that's right or wrong. So it's important to understand that there is no judgment at the level from which you create your reality, that a belief system is not right or wrong. It's simply a belief, and you can change it. Does that answer your question?
Just a bit. Hmm. I have a question for you to kind of take all this belief stuff and put it into an example. So, say there's a person who has set down that what they want is to be in a committed relationship with one person. And as they go inside and look inside and get in touch with their spontaneous beliefs, all of a sudden they're finding beliefs of, well, I'm attracted to lots of different types of people, and I meet all these different people, and my mind automatically goes into fantasies of, well, what would it be like if I'm in a relationship with this kind of person? How do they proceed with that? Like, if they embrace the one half of it, they'll give up on that thing that really matters to them. On the other hand, like, what does a person do with that?
As we have just explained, when you use your imagination in altered states of consciousness, and you have all of these different desires, the spark of consciousness that you are does not judge whether that's right or wrong, because you have in your so-called awakened consciousness state simply put out this statement, I wish to be involved in a singular relationship. It doesn't mean that you really believe that. And so you enter into an altered state of consciousness, and you discover that that's really not the belief you hold at all. Even though in your awakened consciousness state you wish that it might be. And it's paying attention once again to the attitudes. It's paying attention to what it is that you truly believe. And the spark of consciousness that you are gives to you what you truly believe. And so it becomes difficult to find that one individual to be involved in that monogamous relationship. Not impossible, but difficult. Not only does it become difficult to become involved in that type of a relationship, but with it should come the understanding that it becomes difficult to sustain it. You see, when you use that imagination, it's not just to get into that relationship and to be imagining what it would be like, but what would it be like a week from now? And what would it be like a month from now? And what would it be like a year from now? And 10 years from now? And would you still be enjoying that relationship? When you enter into your altered states of consciousness and you have these other interactions that are reflections as well of your belief systems, of attitudes that are indications of belief systems, that it must be very difficult to be involved in a singular monogamous relationship. And it's not right or wrong. You see, your society may look upon it at certain aspects of whether it's right or wrong, and perhaps in your upbringing you've been taught that you have to be involved in this certain relationship, but it's not right or wrong. The stock of consciousness that you are is not judging that you should be involved in one or two or ten different relationships. Absolutely not. It gives to you whatever it is that you desire that validates the beliefs you hold. And so it becomes very difficult to, in your awakened consciousness, that put up this belief system, and there it is. I wish that I had this singular individual relationship when with inside, where one's belief systems are, is this other belief system, if you wish, or a belief that it's very difficult to be involved with one individual. It's very difficult to eliminate all of these other individuals that are also very attractive. Now, perhaps, and we're only making a suggestion on a perhaps, you can do whatever it is you desire. We're not judging what's right or wrong. If you wish to have 10 relationships, go for it. Might be a lot of fun. But if you wish to be involved in one relationship, and you have these fantasies of all of these other relationships, perhaps it might be beneficial to put limitations on some of the other relationships. Limitations as to what types of relationships they would be involved in with, but one particular individual that you have a specific type of relationship that is not extended to the others, and yet the others can be involved in very loving interactions, very giving type of relationships, very rewarding relationships, a very exciting type of reality to create, absolutely. To find the one understanding individual that would be involved in that relationship indeed could allow one to experience that which you desire, as well as the entire interaction with other entities, with other individuals, with other relationships. And so, it's not so much that in one's awakened consciousness state that you desire this particular type of reality. It also involves the imagination of what it would be like. And one enters into, in your particular instance, into that meditative state, and the imagination goes beyond what you believe to be what you might desire in your so-called awakened consciousness state. And it's a reflection of the belief system that indeed it's possible and perhaps even desirable to be involved in a multitude of relationships that can all be rewarding, and perhaps even all in different aspects and different parts of rewarding situations. What do you believe? It's important to understand as well that the spark of consciousness that you are does not judge whether it's right or wrong, but simply gives to you that which you desire, to validate the beliefs you hold. We, as entities, and as we're including all of the entities existing in your vibrational level and in all of the other vibrational levels, at the basis of our existence are one. At the basis of our existence, we are absolute, unconditional love. We love each and every entity as we love ourselves. And at some level of your consciousness, you love each and every entity, not only in your vibrational level, but in all of the vibrational levels that exist throughout all of creation, as you love yourself. And for some of that to filter up into your so-called awakened consciousness state, is not only feasible, but indeed very, very possible. And so, to love more than one entity is not something that is foreign, shall we say. two entities in your awakened consciousness that, but rather at some level of your consciousness understand that you love each and every entity unconditionally as they love you as well. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. You say that we're all created equal, aren't we? But in this, but why is it that so it's a belief that some think they're better, or I guess it's a societal belief, a personal belief, that people think they're better than another person, or they're not, they're equal? I don't know.
It's awakened consciousness concept. At the level of your consciousness from which you create the reality, it does so from a position of absolute unconditional love, and at that level of the consciousness for every entity, not just some who feel that they are inferior versus those who feel they are superior, but at that level of their consciousness from which the reality is created, they're all, each and every entity, not only in your vibrational level, but in all of the vibrational levels, create the reality in exactly the same manner, without any concept of whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, better or worse, but rather from a position of absolute unconditional love to validate beliefs that are held. All equal. It is no harder to create one reality than it is another. Now, you can hold various beliefs and belief systems, both through your so-called human consciousness and societal and personal belief systems, that when one is in their awakened consciousness state can give them that feeling of being somehow superior to others. But be aware that it's only in the awakened consciousness that feeling exists. At the level of consciousness from which reality is created, each and every entity not only is equal, but knows they are equal and accepts as being no more and no less than any other entity. It is all one. You are all that is, and yet you are less than you can ever perceive. A very difficult concept to grasp, but a very accurate one, to give you as close a glimpse through the use of a vocabulary of who you truly are as it's possible to give. The only true way to get a glimpse that you can comprehend is to go with inside, to put aside all of the illusions, to continuously put aside all of the distractions, put aside, until you get down to where there is nothing. Till there is nothing, till it's all gone. And suddenly you begin to perceive that it's everything, that it's all there. It cannot be explained, it can only be experienced. And when you experience it, you begin to understand the fruitlessness of trying to explain it to someone. And so you say to someone, just go with inside, and you'll find it. Just go with inside. And it seems to be such a mundane statement that many individuals put it aside. Well, just go inside. What does that mean? It means that that's the answer. And it's only there. It's not written down. We can't explain it to you. It can't be given through some type of lecture. It can only be experienced, and the experience can only come to the individual. Go inside. And when you know, when you've had the experience, then you never question again. Then you know. Then you have the answer. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Well, now, it has once again been a most enjoyable afternoon and interaction, and we would like to once again express our gratitude to each of you for offering us this opportunity. For you see, the information that we give to each of you is only that which you desire. We're only telling you that which you already know. We're not telling you something that's a big dark secret that we have access to and that you don't. Actually, it's the other way around. You have access to secrets within your reality that we desire to experience, and that's why we come here. for that opportunity. We are grateful for that opportunity. We are grateful to our friend Elias for offering us that opportunity to have that experience, to glimpse into your reality. This is not possible for us to experience in all of our terrestrial living. The answers are within inside each of you. We simply give that to you that you desire to hear, and nothing more. We only tell you that which you already know. We only validate that which you already know. You have but to go inside. Each of you has access to far more answers than we can ever give to you. So we are grateful for this opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And we would welcome that opportunity to interact with each of you should you so desire. You have but to express the intent. For we are not separated by time or by space, but rather by a vibrational level. And we would once again welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with the others. And so until the next time, once again, we bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.